Hello, and thank you for tuning in to this Friday episode of Our PAC Politics Podcast. Our podcast is brought to you by our organization, Our United Resource PAC. If you don't know, we are a tax-exempt political organization. Hello, guys. Happy Friday. I'm your host, Brittany McDowell, and yet again, thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. Today, I know you're not going to like it, but I want to talk more about Mitch McConnell. Like, we have to talk a little bit in depth, more than we did in the previous episode, about his obsession. His obsession that I think is clear to everybody at this point. Mitch McConnell is obsessed with these liability protections. And so today, in a two-segment episode, I want to discuss why it is that Mitch McConnell is, again, quite frankly, obsessed with allowing corporations to, as I see it, abdicate their responsibility to what? To safety, something that I think we, you know, have as part of our American culture kind of accepted as the norm, that businesses would be required to operate and conduct business in a safe manner. But Mitch McConnell, again, wants to deviate from that societal norm that we've established here in America. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. I won't be too long. Again, I do plan to have two separate segments on that, but I'll make it quick. That said, let's go ahead and let's jump in, because I know you've got a lot to do today and for your weekend. All right, so Mitch McConnell, guys, it's very evident at this point. Mitch McConnell is making it clear that he is obsessed with protection, but probably not the protection that you would assume given the circumstances in which our country finds itself. It's probably not the protection that you would assume that he'd be interested in. What Mitch McConnell is doing is he's seeking broad protection, not for the American people, but for businesses, specifically big businesses, right? What he's doing is, and we've talked about this over the last few episodes and in talking about the stimulus packages, the several stimulus packages or proposals or ideas that are kind of floating around our next hopeful stimulus package. We've talked about this liability shield, these liability protections. That's actually been part of the conversation for the last few months, but, you know, again, that kind of went away, and now it's kind of reared its head, its ugly head, if you ask me, in the most recent talks around potential economic stimulus. So at this point, what Mitch McConnell is saying is it's not different than what he's been saying in the past, which is that, look, if you want to pass any form of stimulus, it has to include my liability shield. That is what Mitch McConnell is saying, flat out, point blank, period. Any form of stimulus has to include this liability shield, these protections for big businesses. And I want to point out that luckily we're not hearing it as much anymore, because I think it's really becoming evident to people, but it really was said months ago, when we were in the midst of conversation as a nation around economic stimulus. A lot of people threw a lot of vitriol at Nancy Pelosi and at Democrats. And again, I will tell you, I'm not a supporter of Nancy, nor am I a supporter of a lot of the Democratic agenda. Like, they lost me years ago, right? but I will say this. At this point, it is very evident to a lot of people that the lack of compromise that we have seen regarding COVID-19 economic stimulus and relief, it is not coming from the left. It is coming from the right, right? And a few months ago, you could have said that it was kind of broadly coming from the right. But again, it's becoming more and more evident to more and more people that the lack of compromise is coming from one man. Mitch McConnell, right? He's demanding that everyone else make concessions. He's been demanding that for months. He's been demanding that we don't help state and local governments. He's been demanding that we don't help the unemployed. He's been demanding that, you know, we just, he's just had demand after demand after demand for everybody else. But the one thing he's been very consistent on is his demand that he is not willing to give up. Is that not lacking compromise? He's not willing to make that specific compromise, right? And so as a result of that, what we have is we have these negotiations, these stimulus negotiations that have essentially been hijacked. And they've been hijacked by one man. That man is Mitch McConnell. And what's crazy to me, super crazy, and I think it's crazy to a lot of people because I've heard this from a lot of other people, is that, look, this man just got reelected. Like, it's not like, you know, he is up for reelection in this current cycle, or he's, you know, yes, he's been in office a while, well, many years, for probably some of the course of our lifetimes, if you're around my age, right? But this man has been around a long time, and the people in Kentucky just gave him the green light again. They just said, well, yo, we want this man back in office. And what you would think that his constituents, people who this man who just got reelected, the people who he is representing, you would figure that they would be a whole bunch of wealthy people who are without any form of need, they don't require any type of assistance from the federal government, right? You would think that, oh, well, it makes sense why this man is fighting so hard and why he's been fighting. You can't even say just post-election. He's been fighting so hard for these protections even before the election, when he potentially could have lost. You really would have thought, oh, he must be representing one of the wealthiest countries, excuse me, one of the wealthiest states in the United States, right? Well, newsflash, Kentucky is one of the 10 poorest states in the United States. And this is per Friends Committee on National Legislation. I've got a link in the description box below if you want to check it out. But he is literally a representative for one of, not one of, like, in the bottom 50% of states. No, like, in the, if you were, like, having a competition for the top poorest states in the country, he'd be in that top 10% vying for that number one spot. And I know that, you know, on the right, you know, especially with COVID in chief, they're pushing this whole be number one type idea, but that is not a number one that you should want to claim. This man is obsessed with protecting businesses, and he is denying his states, one of the top 10 poorest states in our country, in our union, he is denying them help. How did he get reelected? How? I can tell you how, and I'm going to talk about that momentarily. But before I go there, I want to kind of take the binoculars off of Mitch. And I want to focus on these liability protections, this liability shield. What's the fundamental problem with it, right? You might hear people saying, well, you know, they're just trying to look out for businesses because we're protecting people. We need to protect businesses too. So what is the fundamental problem with a liability shield? Well, here's the thing. Here's the deal in the word of our president-elect. When it comes to this liability shield, Americans would hold, or they would lose rather, a key way that they could hold businesses, schools, nursing homes, these places that we really put a lot of trust, they would lose a key way that they could hold these places accountable for dangerous acts of negligence during this pandemic. Is there a lot of uncertainty? Sure, especially at the beginning. We didn't know the beast we were dealing with, how to kind of protect ourselves, but we are almost a year into this thing. We know what works. We know masks work. We know hand sanitizer works. We know social distancing works. We know a whole, despite the alternate reality that a lot of people would like to live in, we have data and science that tells us what works. So this whole idea that businesses don't really know how they can keep their employees safe, how they can keep their residents safe, how they can keep their potential clients and customers safe, that whole idea that they don't know how the heck to do, if at this point they are still unsure of how they can keep people safe, if they don't already have a bunch of complaints with OSHA, I would be seriously surprised. Because they literally lack the basic fundamental understandings of what safety is, right? And how are you operating a business if you don't know how to keep people safe when there is a wealth of information out there? What happened to our expectation that businesses, they have to exercise reasonable care to protect patrons, employees, residents, students from illnesses or injuries. What happened to that? No one is expecting that it's going to be perfect and that you're going to get everything right. No. There is just a bare minimum level of reasonable care regarding safety that as a society, we have established as a norm. But Mitch McConnell is saying, look, we need to get rid of that norm because it doesn't work for me and my buds right now. That's not okay. That's not acceptable. Look, Mitch McConnell, he opposed the extra $600 weekly benefit to the unemployed because some people made more than they did when they were working. But get this, some businesses, they flout the rules and they intentionally don't exercise reasonable care. So shouldn't we oppose this as well because of some people? When are people going to recognize the inequality? When are you going to see what they are doing to you? If you at this point, if you were not in one of the top socioeconomic tiers in this country and you were still defending that man, you are insane. You are insane. I can understand you defending that man if he directly benefits you. Like if you are one of maybe the top employers in Kentucky, if you are, you know, if you are one of like the biggest employers, like I can totally understand you defending him because I totally believe everybody should fight for what's in their best interest. But if you don't fall into that camp, why in the hell are you arguing in support of that man? He is not working for you. He does not give a damn about it. He's actually working directly against your best interest. When are you going to recognize it? You know, in this country, in the last few months, actually you could say over the last few years, we've been having protests. We've been having demonstrations around various forms of inequality in this nation, right? Racial inequality, socioeconomic inequality, so on and so forth. And that's all valid. I'm not going to take away from that. But look, this form of inequality that we are seeing right now is just as important. We have all these people marching in the streets because of police brutality and social justice, racist justice, racial justice. And before you even come at me with, oh my gosh, no, she didn't. Look, I'm a Black woman, okay? So I'm just saying, look, this is equally as important. This is injustice. This is inequality. When are you going to see it? When are you going to say, you know what, I'm going to get, okay, yeah, we got people getting shot. That's horrible. That's bad. That should not be acceptable. People are out there marching for that. But when are we going to get out there and march because these people are literally robbing you and your families day in and day out, and you just are thinking that you have to sit next. When are you going to go and march for that? When? I refuse to believe that people are literally just too dumb to see what is being done to them. There are a lot of people that have, especially in recent months, demonstrated behavior that has maybe suggested that they are a few cards short of a full deck. I'll give you that. But I refuse to believe that that is a significant majority of the American people. That's not who we are. We didn't make it this far as a country being that dumb. What we are is we are complacent. What we are is we are a collective of people who do not realize the amount of political power that we have that is more important than just your vote. Look, this is a fact. I literally could see Mitch McConnell making these arguments about, oh, we must protect businesses and allow them to not be responsible because everyone's going to sue them. I might give Mitch McConnell that if we were actively and currently living in a society where our court systems were flooded with cases on the docket where people were looking to sue their employers, looking to sue their hospitals, looking to sue their schools, looking to sue their nursing, their parents and families nursing homes. And the system was just so overrun with cases. I would literally say, well, you know what? Mitch has a point, because we cannot live in a society where everybody at every turn is getting sued. But you know what? That's not the reality in which we find ourselves. When it comes to lawsuits over COVID-19, newsflash, they have been so rare, you wouldn't even believe it. You wouldn't even know they were a thing. Can I tell you something? Because COVID-19 is an issue that our organization focuses on, one of the things that we actively have going on is we have our fingers on the pulse of courts across the country, actively listening for cases regarding COVID-19 in a way that has to do with some sort of like financial impact or negligence. We don't come across many of those. We don't. Because they're not a thing. They don't exist. So literally, when you think about that fact, Mitch McConnell is holding everything up over something that isn't even an issue. I'm gonna end this segment with this. Look, when it comes to allowing corporations to abdicate their responsibility, we can't do it because it would be devastating. Devastating. And it would have long-lasting effect on the individuals who are in positions where they don't have the power to stand up against injustices being done to them by businesses. It would have long-lasting effect and be devastating to families who have lost a family member because of negligence done by a corporation. It would be devastating too, and have long-lasting effect on communities. Communities, I can guarantee you, certain communities would be absolutely taken advantage of when collectively they have no power, when individually they have no power. Certain communities, aka communities of color, communities that are typically associated with a lower socioeconomic status, you think that they're dealing with disenfranchisement now? Whatever enfranchisement they have is going down the drain. This would be devastating too, and have long-lasting impacts on our country as a whole. It would set a dangerous precedent. Again, it would take us away from the established norms that we have as a country, which is that, look, you can run your business, you can do what you want to do, but you have to do it in a manner that is safe. And when you are not doing it in a manner that is safe, you are going to be held accountable for that. What's that saying? You give them an inch, they take a foot. You give the foot, they take a mile. Dangerous, dangerous, dangerous for the country. I don't think I need to say anything else about this. You know, one of the very important things that I think people need to take away from what we are seeing with Mitch McConnell and his dogged defense for and protection of the ability for corporations to abdicate their responsibility to safety. One of the many things, because there are a lot of things that I think people need to learn and take from this, is the fact that, and it's something that a lot of people aren't going to want to hear, money is power. So often people say it, but I really don't think that they understand it. And this is a very clear and open way, something that we don't quite frankly see a lot in politics, because a lot of people politically don't understand how a lot of things, like, okay, they don't understand how, for instance, the billions and trillions and gazillions of dollars that we might spend maybe in that war machine, funding wars and building bombs and stuff, a lot of people really don't think about the fact that that is actually directly related to the lack of funding that we see in communities and the mass amounts of poverty that we see across this country. Some people made a decision to fund A over B. A lot of people aren't aware of that choice that is made on a daily basis by our elected representatives. This is a very clear, and again, out in the open, something that is not very frequently seen. It's an out in the open, live in the flesh example of the fact that money is power. We are seeing in the flesh, real time, the active discussion about the allocation of funding. Are we going to allocate money to A, or are we going to allocate money to B? Why is Mitch McConnell doing this? Why is he fighting so hard to protect businesses? He sees the numbers regarding COVID-19, the people dying, the hospitalizations, the lack of resources to adequately, sufficiently, efficiently, and effectively fight COVID-19. He sees that. He has access to more intel than we have as average citizens. Why is he still making the choice to fight for businesses, go as hard for businesses like he is? Why? You know why? lobbyists. I've said before on this podcast, if you caught the opening of our podcast, I mentioned that we're a political organization, okay? I make that very clear. I am not somebody on a podcast who just presents random news to you. No offense to the people who do, but that's not what I do. This podcast isn't even, this isn't what I do every day, right? This is just one of our forms of marketing for our organization. Our organization is a political action committee. We are a PAC. We are a super PAC. We're non-connected. We're not connected with the political organization, with the political party or a specific politician. So I make that very, very clear. Why am I saying this to you? I say this because a lot of people, when they consider, as is the truth, that Mitch McConnell is doing all of this because of lobbyists, people who are in Washington to fight for and advocate for things on behalf of specific companies and industries. And they wield a lot of not just power, but they have a lot of money behind them, right? Money that they can use to donate to campaigns and so on and so forth. They're very connected individuals. Politicians, they love lobbyists, not because they necessarily like them, but because that's how they get their jobs. That's how they get reelected, because it takes money to run political ads against your opponent who might be telling lies against you. Or if they're telling the truth, you might need to get some of your lies on television so that way you can kind of combat the truth that they're telling about you. So that way, or you can at least kind of try and take hold of the point of it is they need lobbyists. But look, as a political organization, one of the things that I have tried at various points to make very clear was that, especially if you listen to other podcasts or if you listen to YouTube, people always try and say, oh, well, I'm not biased, or, I'm not this, I'm not that. Like, people, no matter who they are, always have some form of bias, right? And one of the reasons I make it very clear that we're a political organization is that even though while we are not affiliated with a specific party or politician, we come to the table with the bias, and you may not be down with the bias or you may be down with the bias, but that's for you to decide. It is not up to me to try and trick you into thinking that I'm not biased when, if you listen to what I say and how I say it, the things I choose to say or not say, it could be very clear to you, and it should be very clear where we fall on certain issues. But I'm not going to go into that tangent. What I will say is this. Let me kind of reel myself back to my original point that I was trying to make. A lot of people, when they think about lobbyists and they think about the power that they wield in Washington, they get angry. And I would say it makes sense that people would get angry. It would make you angry if you really don't understand the amount of political power that you yield as well. A lot of people don't understand that. They think that it's only the people who have gazillions and quadrillions of dollars that have any type of political power. I've said before, and I will continue to say, that no disrespect, I mentioned earlier people out there marching, and I said, we need to be out here marching for this. No disrespect to the people who do march. I think in some instances, marching is what you should do. It's not appropriate in all circumstances, if you ask me. But in some cases, very, very rarely it is. But I will say this. Do you ever see millionaires and billionaires out there marching in the street? The people who have senators and congressional leaders on speed dial, are they out on the street marching? Are they holding signs? Do they get up on Saturdays and make signs with glitter and, go out on this call? Again, no disrespect to you people doing that. But I say this to point out that that is not your only form of political power. Voting is important, okay? But there are those people out there who will tell you that voting is the only thing you can do. That is not true. There are people out there who will tell you that voting or marching in the streets are the only things you can do. That is not true either. There are people who will tell you voting, marching in the streets, phone banking, volunteering, going door to door, those are the only things you can do. That is not true. Your political power is just as diversified as other people, specifically those lobbyists. Yes, you have political power like lobbyists. Now, here's the deal. Money is power. And no, you may not have a lot of money. You may not have any money. I am poised to believe when I read recent reports of there being increases in theft due to people stealing basic necessities, food, diapers, shampoo, laundry, like stuff that you would think that we would all just basically have. I'm poised to believe that a lot of people don't have a bunch of quote unquote disposable money. Okay? But I will tell you this. There are more of us than them. There are more people who have very little who, if we collectively said, no, I can't make $1 million contribution to a political candidate or a super PAC such as our United Resource PAC. But you know what? I can skip my Starbucks coffee and take that $5 and give that as a contribution. Again, either directly to a candidate. And hear me out. I'm not making a call to action for you to give us money right now. I'm not doing that. Quite frankly, that is not what I use our podcast for. Our podcast, our plan for this is not for me to raise funds off of it. If you do want to give a contribution to help us fund our cause and run political ads, you most certainly can go to our website and do it. But that is, if you notice, I don't make any pitches for money. Oh, please give us money on our podcast. I don't do that. But look, if enough people say, you know what, I'm going to give $5. I'm going to give 10, whatever you can give. But the point of it is you have to give. You have to give. Why? Money is power. Have you ever tried running a business with no money? It's possible, but the probability of success, very, very small. Trust me, I've tried. It takes money to make money. And why do we need money, politically speaking? Because you need money to expose people. These politicians, they can raise money and they have access to people who have money that allow them to get on television and pull one over on people who would be severely impacted by their election. Case in point, Kentucky. Kentucky is one of the 10 poorest states in this country. Yet it just reelected a man who was saying, I'm not giving them a check. How was he able to do that? Because he was able to get ads out. He was able to pay for advertising that put the message out there that, look, I'm your guy. And the reality of it is, while you may be listening to something political in nature, a lot of people are disenfranchised by politics. So they're not actively out there seeking YouTube videos, podcasts, even basic news shows and segments. A lot of people get their news by that quick scroll on Facebook, by, you know, by just the quick ads that they come across. And if the ads that they see were paid for by the people who are directly working against them, is it any wonder why they continue to reelect those people? It takes money to win this fight. And yes, we can have the conversation around change and how we need to take money out of politics. I'm completely, hello, look it. Not only do I host this show, but I'm the president and CEO of our organization, right? Of a super PAC, of a political action committee in campaign finance. And you know what my personal stance is on campaign finance? We need to take the money out of politics. What? Yes. But you know what? As they say, and as I totally see, don't hate the player, hate the game. So even if we hate the game, even if we think that the game is rigged and that the game needs to change, until that change happens, you have to be involved. Until we see that change, unless we agree to a system where, well, we're going to be over here fighting, wishing, and hoping for change and chanting si se puede all day. Unless we're going to agree to that while those other people are out there with their ads, with their lies, telling people,
oh, I'll fight for you.
And then in the same breath saying,
don't give them any money.
Unless we agree to live in that system, we have to be saying, si se puede, yes, we can, change, 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 hope and change, oh, yay, whatever people are saying nowadays. But we also have to actively say, you know what, hey, I'm willing to forego my Starbucks just for today. You don't have to do it every week. No one is saying make a contribution every week to politicians and stuff. But what I'm saying is you have to say, look, how can I figure in my budget to give $10 a quarter? $10 every 3 months to, again, I'm not telling you to do this to give it to us. I'm not even telling you what party to give it to, but you have to make a decision to be politically active. And yes, voting is political activity. Marching can be political activity. Phone banking, going door to door can be political activity, but was also political activity, but has more of a multiplier effect, if you ask me, and as the data tells us, is political advertising. That's the truth nobody wants to tell you about. Don't hate the player, hate the game. Change, we absolutely need it. But in the meantime, in between time, we have to deal with the cards we are given. And the cards we are given saying, look, it takes money to make ish happen. And if you're not willing... Now, look, if you were absolutely, if there is no way, like you have no job, no money, I will not tell you to not pay your light bill. Because, look, I have heard of religious leaders telling members in their congregations, don't pay your light bill. The Lord is going to bless you if you give me your money. Okay. No comment about that. I'm going to leave that alone, but I'm just going to say, I'm not going to tell you that. I'm not going to tell you that you should be out there giving your money for political change if you don't have any money, if it means that you don't have a roof over your head or that you don't have lights or you don't have food. I'm not saying that. But if you have any type of disposable income, I'm not saying give it all. I'm not saying give it all the time. But can you find a way to skip a Starbucks once a month? Can you find a way to not go out to lunch one day out of the month and take that $15, $20 and give it to maybe a politician whose cause you support? Every politician has a website, and every politician on their website allows you to give to their cause. Again, you don't have to give it to us. You can give it to a direct politician that you support. You can also give it to super PACs like ours, who do not, legally we are barred from working directly with politicians. But what we can do is run ads either in support of or in opposition to politicians. So make your call, but you have to find some way to be active. You have to find a way. I can't say it enough, man. You look, no disrespect to organizations and politicians who tell you to vote, vote, vote. Voting is important. But look, voting is not enough. Because if voting was enough, their mega donors would say, look, I like my money. I worked hard for my money. I'm going to keep it. And I'm just going to go vote. But voting's not enough. And if nobody has ever told you that, I'm telling you that now. Ask yourself, what is the difference between me and the people who were on, who have these politicians on speed dial? It's not that they're better people. They may be better looking, but I doubt that that's it. You probably are better looking than them. It's not that they're nicer. What it is they got that dollar bill, y'all. And no, you might not be able to make it rain hundreds of thousands of dollars, but can you make it rain a quick five? Can you make it trickle drip with a 10? Can you spliggity splash a 20? You have to find some way to participate more than just your vote. Because if you just depend on your vote, you will continue to get hoodwinked and bamboozled by those who have more political power than you. And the unfortunate thing that I'm going to say about this, and I'm going to stop with this, is that you can't just have 5-10 people who agree to try and be more politically active. Especially when, again, we all might have $5, $10 that we can spare every few months. But if enough people do it, trust and believe, that will be some change. You'll start to see some change. We hear Republicans talk about a law and order. Right? They pride themselves on being these people about law and order and, you know, just we uphold the law and all that good stuff. And one of the ways that they talk about law and order, or one of the things that they defend, is sentencing, right? Well, we need harsh sentences because it's a deterrent to people actually committing crimes. Tough sentences deters criminal activity in their logic, by their logic. But look, the ability for people to sue a business is a terrific deterrent against unsafe business practices. Yet again, do you not see the double standard of these people? If you don't want to see it at this point, if you don't see it, it's because you don't want to see it. Not because you were not capable of seeing it. You don't want to see it. And I would respect you more if you were just open about it and you say, look, Brittany, I don't want to believe it. Brittany, I see what you're saying, but I don't believe it because, you know, I don't want to. I don't have to. I'll respect that more than these people running around not even acknowledging these facts that you bring out and point out to them. The double standard is so evident. It's fall, and you know what that means, right? You can find us on Facebook. No, I know that fall and Facebook have nothing to do with each other, but they both start with the letter F. So, according to my logic, perfect time to tell you about finding us on Facebook since it is fall. Isn't that exceptional logic? By my point of view, it is. Anywho, in the description box below, you'll find a link to our Facebook page. Check us out. If you like us, like our page, we'll be more than glad to have you. Again, find us on Facebook. Look in the description box below for the link.
This is Brittany. Just wanted to shoot you a quick reminder. Look in the description box of this episode and you can find a link to our website. On our website, you can find our latest blog posts. You can find our contact information. If you even want to make a contribution, you can go over there and do that as well. You can find out the policies we are looking at and targeting as an organization. You know, I say all the time that we are a tax-exempt political organization. If you want to know more about that, again, go on over to our website, our-pack.com, where you can find out everything you want to know. You can do everything you want to do. We will gladly welcome you on our website with open arms. Again, check out our website in the description box below.
All right, guys. So that is our Friday episode. I hope that you walked away from this episode understanding Mitch McConnell's obsession with these liability protections. It's not as confusing or hard to understand as some people might have you believe, like there's some kind of secret, you know, it's very clear why Mitch McConnell is obsessed with allowing companies to abdicate their responsibility to safety. It's very clear. There's no mystery behind it, right? And the absolute solution to politicians like Mitch McConnell is probably one that a lot of people don't want to hear. It's money. Money makes the world go round. Money is power. It's a tough thing for a lot of people to realize. It's something that a lot of people would like to actively change, myself included. But again, as they say, don't hate the player, hate the game. This is the game that we're having to play. And until we change the board, until we get a new game out, we can't just stop playing the game. That's how you lose. We've got to play. We've got to get our head in the game. And it requires money. You defeat people like Mitch with money. That's capitalism for you. That's our political system until we change it. Okay? So, that said, I hope you have a fantastic weekend. I hope you stay safe. These numbers are insane. We are seeing more than 3,000 people a day lose their lives to COVID-19. And it's not going to slow down anytime soon. I know these vaccines they bring hope to a lot of people. But I just caution you all to be wise. Because the mere existence of a vaccine does not mean that the virus is just going to magically disappear. So I don't want the appearance of this vaccine to the scene. I don't want it to allow or cause some of you to become laxed in your fervent care and protection of yourselves and your families against this virus. Keep your guards up until it is officially said that you can bring your guards down. Keep wearing your mask. Keep your hand sanitizer with you. Wear your goggles. Wear your face shields. Yeah, if you wear gloves, wear those. I used to wear those, but I noticed that I tended to touch my face and my belongings with this kind of false sense of protection. But I'm not going to tell you what to do. So just be safe, and as I always say, if you have a hazmat suit, continue to wear it. It is not the time to put your hazmat suit in the closet, okay? Don't put it in the cleaners. It is not time yet. Have a good weekend. Stay safe, and I will hopefully see you back here on Monday again on our PAC Politics Podcast. Have a good one.